Welcome to another episode of Refill by YBGG. And thank you for joining us once again. I'm your host, Danielle Smith, the Globe Coach. This is the home of all things personal development, authentic conversations, audio blogs, and tangible advice to expedite your journey. Steep some chai tea or grab some Hennessy. It's time to refill your cup. Okay, today we are joined by Auntie Rick. She is a boss in every sense, which stands for Business Operations and Systems Specialist. Essentially, I like to say what she does is she makes organizations sexy. But I know that Rick can introduce herself way better than I can. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Thank you for joining us, first of all, but let us know a bit about the person behind the brand.
Thank you for having me, first of all.
Anytime.
No, I probably can't introduce myself better than you can. I, like a lot of people, just don't really like talking about myself. However, I have thought about, you know, who I am outside of what I do. And I am a person who... discovered their purpose is to help others, or help bring the light out of others, help others to amplify their own light, even when they feel like they don't have a light. And that's business or personal. It's pretty much my calling card across the board. So that's who I am.
I like that.
Basically at the core.
It's important to have an identity outside of business because it can just kind of become our entire life if we aren't careful.
Exactly.
So that kind of makes sense as to why you are so adamant about having systems in place and order in your business, and kind of what motivates you, because you are super passionate about the work that you do. You're always scolding us online. So can you tell us how you help creatives protect their peace in business?
Okay, so let me start with why I do that, because that's why I don't scold.
I'm just
I have very strong, I make very strong suggestions. I don't scold.
Appreciate that.
Well, not the first time. The first time is a very, very strong suggestion. But the reason I do it is because I am one of the people who, upon finding it very hard to gain full-time employment, switched to the model that I had to become an entrepreneur. And so in doing that, I was coming across other people who were starting businesses, trying to turn their passion into profits, all that kind of stuff. But everyone was burning out around me, including me at one point. But I had a wake-up call because I was like, girl, you have X amount of years experience in how businesses run. When I say X amount, like I'm talking like close to 30 years in the space of business operations. So like I had to have a sit down moment with myself first, because I was burning out and doing a lot of chasing and that kind of stuff. So I wanted to make sure that I put my systems in place. And I realized that the more disciplined I became, especially with my time, the better things went. Not always the ideal situation at times, but it definitely got me through. So I was noticing that, like, I just sat surrounded by creatives in different spaces, like food creatives, music creatives, graphic creatives, you know, just in a bunch of different creative spaces. And they were really, really, really good at what they did. They really loved what they did. But the whole running the business part, dealing with clients part, was like they didn't want to tackle it. So they tried to ignore it as long as they could until it like crushed their business. Excuse me.
That's okay.
So like it crushed their business, it crushed their spirits. So that's why I got into that space, or got into, I keep saying space, I've been on Clubhouse too much. but that's how that became my torch, right? Because I kept noticing a common thread against amongst my friends who were starting business. It was like grand opening, grand closing. And to the point where they completely and totally fell out of love with the passion that they were trying to turn into profit or profit from. So, and then because I started off as a VA and then I became a WordPress designer, developer, and brand designer. And I'd say about the last 5 years, 5 or 6 years of me doing that, I had raised my rates significantly and I was getting different type of clientele, but still this clientele didn't have they didn't have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed when it came to how they wanted to run their business, how they were going to market their business, what their business goals were. They just knew they did something. They did it very well. They were in love with it. And they wanted to get it done. And they weren't not making money, right? They were making good money doing what they did, but they had no systems or processes. And those people were running into situations where somebody would approach them for a really great opportunity and they would be asked to submit stuff. And they either didn't know what those things were or didn't have them. And so I'm talking like 5, 6, almost 7-figure losses because they didn't have their stuff together.
I have a question. So this is a problem that I see happen a lot. Also working in the administrative space for a really long time. How do you suggest somebody kind of get a grip on their business once they're in this space? Like, what is the first thing, whether they have the funds to hire support or not, what is the first thing that they should look at or pay attention to get themselves out of this, like, this little burnout valley that they're on their way to?
They have to document everything.
Okay.
And it sounds simple because it is simple.
Yeah.
People don't like it because it's not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like it because it's tedious. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is when you're more involved in the running of your business, it causes you to be self-aware and self-reflective.
Yes.
And people don't like that. People don't like to turn the mirror on themselves. It's full of hard truths.
Yeah.
Right. And you being accountable to yourself and your business.
Yeah.
So even more than it being unsexy and tedious, it's the part where people have to turn inward and see where their issue is. That's one of the reasons why people just don't like to do it, or you find so many people in businesses that don't have, you know, processes and systems in order. And so the first place is to document it, get it all out of your head, do a brain dump. It's like taking your purse and dumping it on the couch, right? Yeah. Just get it all out and then you organize everything. So actually I have a framework called Document Template Automate.
Mm-hmm.
With the premise being that anything you do more than twice needs to be documented.
Yeah.
At the very least. So even if you're not going to go into automation, and you should never start automation with automation, right? Never start automation with automation. Automation starts with documenting your process. And so it's very simple.
Sorry to interrupt. When you were going through your process of like sitting down and trying to identify what had to be done and when, what were like some of the main boundaries that you created or systems that you created based on your boundaries for yourself and building your business?
The first part was time allocation, because at the time I had my daughter. And so I was responsible for transporting her back and forth to school. Mm-hmm. And when she got to high school, that meant I was driving 140 miles a day. So I didn't have time to be sitting on the phone all day long because I was in the car almost all day long.
Yeah.
So that was my time allocation. I blocked time. So I did light tasks together. I did admin tasks on certain days.
Okay.
I did client work on certain days. If I cracked open Photoshop, that's an all-day situation. So that was done on certain days. And that also meant that I had to know how long it took me to complete a project and then add time to that for a buffer, you know. Because it's that much driving. So like, okay, 1 year President Obama was in town and it took me 4 hours to get home for a 45-minute drive.
That's too long. That is way too long.
Yeah. And so like, and it was Valentine's Day. So what usually happened is when we had situations like that, we would go duck off somewhere for dinner, but it was Valentine's Day. So there was no ducking off anywhere for dinner, really. Yeah. So, you know, and which meant that the next day for work, like I was exhausted. I wasn't coming home to work on anything. Right. Oh, and one of the boundaries that I have for myself really was just making sure that I built in enough buffer time into a project and learning how much time I needed to complete because things come up. So I wanted to make sure, you know, if it takes me 3 days, I tell a client 10 and then I deliver in 5 or 7 and they have a stellar experience. And I started that because, you know, driving the 140 miles a day. One time President Obama was in town and it took me 4 hours to get home for what was normally a 45 minute drive. And what we used to do would duck off somewhere to eat, but it was Valentine's Day, so there was really nowhere to duck off. So I just spent all that time in my car. I got home, I was tired. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I didn't want to do any work. I just like laid on the couch. But because I had built in time to my turnaround process or my turnaround times, I wasn't behind and stressing myself out trying to catch up in order to deliver.
Okay. That kind of leads me into my next question. So for like a newer creative, you're like super seasoned by this point. You had, I believe you said 20 or 30 years of experience under your belts at this point. But like a newer creative that's just starting out and kind of operating from a space of, I hate to use this word, but like desperation, where you're kind of desperate for your next client. You might be still like, you know, trying to establish yourself as an entrepreneur. What kind of mindset shifts does that person need to take so that they can be more secure and confident in the schedule that they've created for themselves, the systems that they have in place, maybe carving out more time to themselves so that they can operate at their best? Like, what advice do you have for that person that might be listening?
Stop offering everything and stop customizing everything.
Yes.
Pick the service that you enjoy producing. Now, if you've never had a client before, think about the type of client you want to work with. And in doing so, you give yourself time to experiment, right? You give yourself time to figure out what you don't like, what you do like, what you want more of, what you want less of. It takes a minute to take off, but you can be a lot more confident promoting one service than you will be promoting everything under the kitchen sink. And the other thing, like, you need the confidence. The coins come through the confidence, and the confidence comes from clarity. And you can't gain clarity when you don't really know what's going on to begin with, and then trying to do all the things for all the people and creating custom things for everybody. You can't do that. So stop trying to do all the or offering all the things, and stop trying to talk to everybody. Like, everybody is not your target market.
Yeah.
You don't have to have it perfect the first time. Like, it's okay to change, right? And when you get down to perfecting that one thing, that one service, you get to charge more for it. So, and when it comes to pricing, you're not pricing for your competition, right? You are pricing for the result that your client is going to get. Granted, if you're brand new, some numbers might feel funny to you. So start with the research first. I suggest going on sites like Glassdoor or salary.com, if that one still exists. And put in the title of whatever's closest to what your offer is. And then see what the low, median, and higher end salaries are. But understand that a salary is a fraction of what you should be charging as an entrepreneur. Because when you're an employee, you like the business operations expenses are not figured into your salary. Your salary is a business operations expense, right? So $50,000 as an employee is not $50,000 as a business owner. It doesn't weigh the same. So you want to double or triple that salary being offered, because you have to you have to account for all of the things that have to come out of that money, right? So, and you're not pricing to be affordable, okay? Affordable will have you in the red if you're not careful. So if you're just starting out and you don't know where to turn, look at what people are offering for salaries. And I would say just go ahead and double it automatically. And that should be your goal number.
Okay.
And if that number looks too, if that number looks too big to you, go ahead and break it down to like a weekly number. Like the same, it'll be the same total, but just look at it on a, as a weekly number. So it's a little bit smaller and a little bit more palatable. One thing, if you're a Black creative, one thing I want you to do, and it seems weird, but I promise you it works. Excuse me, or it's very eye-opening at the very least. Find out who your white peers are in the work that you're doing. And then go to their sites and see what they're charging. And that's a very real eye-opener, because you'll find that you, what number you were thinking was good enough. And that's another thing. Can I just go off on a tangent real quick?
I'll go right ahead.
We have a tendency to think that, oh, this is a good enough number. Oh, I don't need all that. Oh, well, you know, I just need to make. No, we don't do that. We have to stop doing that. I don't know, and I hate to throw this term out there, right? But I have been pretty fortunate to come up in some very diverse circles. And so I can't recall having a conversation with friends of any other race or cultural backgrounds where X amount of dollars was just enough. Like, I'll just be okay with this. I'll just be okay with that. We have to come up off of that. Like, or, oh, that's too much. I don't understand what too much money is. I don't understand that one at all. Like, just go to Mean Girls. The limit does not exist. Right. So that is a very, it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. It is, you're not being humble by telling the universe to give you the bare minimum. That's not humility.
Yeah.
And another thing I've been telling people is like, because there are people like, I can't price my stuff this high because people can't afford me. And what you're doing is you're projecting your fear and lack onto a whole population that you haven't seen people who look like you that do have, can, and will spend that kind of money in a heartbeat. And they might not hire you because you're not charging enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I want us to come out of that. Oh, I just need, oh, I'll be grateful for this amount. Yes, we like, gratitude is paramount. Gratitude is super important. But at the same time, like, just being grateful for the bare minimum or just over the bare minimum, that's not a goal. Like, I need us to come up off of that. Like, it's everything is infinite. Don't limit yourself or before you even get going. Right. So, yeah. Also, as a newbie, don't rush to pay for everything. Okay. I see people all the time in comments of my peers like, oh, what are you using for this? What are you using for that? Now, those people are making, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. They have an operations budget. You may not.
Yeah.
And you don't need to pay $200 a month when you're not even making sales. That's hustling backwards. There are very few things you need to pay for when you're starting, especially if you're not totally confident in the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, if you feel like you might flip a switch at some point, like, it's totally okay to start with free versions of stuff. You don't need the $99 a month plus tools, because the tools aren't going to help you to make the revenue that the people you're looking up to is making. The tools don't do that. The tools support that.
What is the number one tool that you would suggest a creative start with to get their now that they have the pricing and the offer and they're confident in it and they're ready to accept that first client? What should they have in place, or what software or program will allow them to get all of these things in place?
Okay, so there's a few ways to do it, and I happen to enjoy my process to be from from getting somebody to say yes or getting someone interested to saying yes to getting them onboarded, like getting them started in a project. I happen to prefer having all of that stuff in one place, right? And then I also happen to prefer just paying one price to do several different things. And so the first tool I actually paid for, which was almost 4 years ago now. So I had been doing a lot of this stuff manually for eight and a half years. Is Dubsado. And like, I'm a Dubsado stan, but they stand for me too. So I love that. But I'm not going to beat anyone over the head with it. There are others. I have tried a lot of them, and Dubsado is still my first love in that regard. So, but the thing with Dubsado is you still have to document your processes, right? Before you jump in there, you still have to know what to do. And because Dubsado is so flexible, it's not going to guide you through stuff, right? They have tutorials on how to hook stuff up, but the program itself, the software itself is not going to say, okay, put this here. Okay, put that there, because it's very flexible. When you have programs that do that for you, like guide you through it and, okay, paste this here and then do this and then do that, they're actually shaping your processes for you because they have things working a certain way. So Dubsado does require you to understand what the steps are in delivering that service, right? So you still have to document first. You can't get away from the documentation. But what Dubsado does is allow you to template what you've documented. So you create templates, and templates aren't always meant to be carbon copies of each other. Templates are actually meant to just save you time, help you to remember stuff, and then you can switch it up as needed. That's what templates are for. Templates aren't just to create copies of everything. So, and then once you get used to the templating of it, you can also use Dubsado to automate it. Now, it took me a year before I started automating a lot of my stuff, but I had the templates there. And so I knew what I wanted things to do. And I got comfortable just sending it myself, because having it set up already saved me, you know, 4 hours. Instead of spending 4 hours after I talk to the client, I could have them set up by the time we get on the call and be like, are you interested? And when they say yes, I could drop the link in the chat and get paid right there and then before we even get off the call. And on top of that, their pricing, it's one price for, like, I personally replace 4 other softwares. So I cut my operations expenses by using Dubsado. Mm-hmm. But there's potentially 6 different softwares you can cut out by using Dubsado. And so that's one of the ones I would invest in. Make sure you have your domain. Make sure you have a payment processor set up so you can accept payments, right? Make sure you have a domain. Even if you're not using it right away, like if you decide this is the name you're operating under, buy the domain name, please. So there's no brand confusion. And also buy the domain before you file, like if you go to file your business, register your business with your local area, or even going to file a trademark, buy the domain before you do that, because once it hits the registration, it becomes public record. And there are people who will buy the domain, and they will buy variations of that domain if you're not careful. And then they'll try and sell it back to you for $2,500 plus. So buy it before you file. I had that happen to a couple of people. And a lot of those people use bots to do it. So it's basically automated. So they're really fast. Almost as soon as it hits like the public arena, they'll go grab it. So just make sure you do that before you file stuff. That is one of the things, but everything comes back to the documentation, writing it down, typing it out. I happen to like pen and paper, because writing, like the actual physical act of writing, helps to reinforce things. It helps you to remember. But either way, whether you bullet point it on your phone, like it doesn't have to be really long and drawn out. You can even use a screen recorder like Loom. You can use that for the tasks that are done online or on your computer. You record the screen as you're doing them, right? And then you can have them, they, you can have them flushed out into a document, but at the very least you would have it recorded. So, you know, the documentation is the foundation for everything. Because if you don't document what you're doing, right, when you go to price stuff, how do you know all what's involved? Don't trust what's in your head, because your brain will deceive you. It will betray you. And because one of the things I tell people to do, like, once you do that first run of your documentation, get it and then follow it step by step. Don't rely on what's in your head. I want you to follow the directions you've written and tell me how many times you have to stop and be like, oh, yeah, I forgot this. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. It's not you. That's just the thing, right? Yeah. How they say, it's not a bug, it's a feature, right?
Yeah.
So, but documentation.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, documentation is the foundation for everything.
Yeah, this is taking me back to like my 9-to-5 life when I'm trying to like have the really busy people that we're trying to become, the busy and wealthy people, have them sit down and just, you know, make sense of their processes. But it's really tedious work. And at the same time, when you're already making money, sometimes you might not see the need to get everything organized and documented. But when things hit the fan and you find yourself, you know, maybe having an audit where you have to produce certain documents, and that's a pretty serious situation, you don't want to be scrambling at that point. Or if you're ready to bring on a new member to the team, and you have to explain your processes, that's when these things can really be super detrimental, especially when you're scaling. The three things I took away from our little discussion was, number one, managing your time. So kind of identifying what your schedule should look like according to your needs and how well you know yourself and your self-awareness and all of that to prevent burnout. The second thing that I love was that confidence is what's bringing the coins. So once you're clear on your offering and you have your systems in place and you can show up authentically, and then the money should just follow as a result. And then third, which maybe should be the first thing, is documenting everything along the journey so you can prepare yourself for the success that's on the way and that you're working towards. Where can the people find you, Reek?
Okay, so it's auntierick.com, auntierick.com. I'm real heavy on Twitter, Auntie Rick, auntierick. It's Rick like Slick Rick. I am on Instagram and Clubhouse and Facebook. Like, I have a presence, but if you really want all the goodies, find me on Twitter. Yeah, that's where I be all hours of the night.
I hyperlink everything in the description. Thank you so much for your time. This was an awesome conversation where you could just flex in your zone of genius. You do this day in, day out. Definitely save
my life
processes. This stuff can be overwhelming, and it's funny because like I do this for like my 9-to-5 traditional type stuff, but when it comes into figuring out the processes for myself and my own business, it can be so overwhelming, but it's a necessary task for us to go through, especially like as we're setting things up, because it's harder to kind of, you know, get things in line once you've been doing things the way you've been doing them for the past 5 years. You've already wasted however much time, and you're finding yourself attracting a certain clientele. It's really hard to switch up at that point. So I'm really grateful for this conversation and what it will be able to do for the creatives that are listening in and maybe considering pivoting because of the elephant in the room, 2020. thank you so much for your time. Until next time.
As always, the work doesn't end here. Remember to apply the gems you picked up, because the magic truly is in the doing. We've got this globe thing under control. Mad X's and Mad O's. Until next time.